return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Welcome to a service at Holy Life Tabernacle in Brookings, South Dakota. We are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Now let's go into the sanctuary, and here's today's message.
Our God is an awesome God.
It's for the kingdom of God that's come right now, in our midst, in our hearts, in our lives. Thank you for your word that's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you for the transforming power. Lord, we refuse to be ashamed of this mighty power of the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you that that power has been unleashed in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I guess that was a little confusing to everybody in the back. It's healing session six, so we've been at this for a while, huh? But I'm starting a couple weeks on the vocabulary of healing. There's just so many words in the scripture, Hebrew and Greek. We aren't all thoroughly trained in it, and I'm just going to hope to fill in a few gaps to help us understand just a little bit more of what's ours in Jesus Christ, friends. Because as you know, it's the truth that we know that sets us free. John chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's not just putting it on your bedside that's going to make you free, friend. It's not just, it's not by osmosis. It's got to get inside of us. We have to get our minds renewed. It's the truth we know that's going to make us free. Hallelujah. And friends, remember, it's not just knowledge that we need or want or can be satisfied with. We want to attach faith to this precious word of God. Because, Hebrews chapter 4 is where we're going to go next. As you know, an entire generation missed the promised land. God said, I got this land for you, this beautiful, fruitful, glorious place for you. For us, friends, right now, our promised land is what? It's this land of wholeness and health, because I want you to know it's yours. God wants you well. God wants you healthy. God wants you strong. And this entire generation missed it, not because God was holding back on them. It had nothing to do with God holding back. Say, oh, no, they haven't done this, this, or this yet. No. They just refuse to believe. Do we have that scripture? Here it is. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. Is this New King James? Yes, it is. How come I must have the wrong verse? I'll let you hunt and see which one it's supposed to be. This is the verse I have. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Maybe it's verse 3 or 4. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Did I just give the wrong verse? Anyway, I think we just had this preached to us a few weeks ago, right? Y'all were in on Quincy Goodstar and his great message about rest, trusting God. Exactly. But the gospel was preached to us also. Listen, you've got this wholeness, this land of wholeness, this land of divine health, this land of soundness in your body that's for you. It's already stamped yes in the Word of God. There it is. Oh, verse 2. Thank you, Steve. The word which they heard did not profit them. I mean, you can hear it and hear it and hear it. You can read it, you can meditate on it, but unless you say yes and attach faith to it, it will not be yours. Like I said, God wasn't holding back on them, and God is not holding back on us, not in any way, shape, or form. So I want to clarify right up front here that Jesus wants you well. Never has your Father God sat back in his on his glorious throne and said, I've got this plan now. I'm going to put this disease on, and then they'll appreciate me more, and then they'll have more understanding, more compassion. I mean, God doesn't think like that. We must not ever come into agreement with that kind of thought that's going around. The truth is that our God is so good at taking what's bad in our lives and turning it around for good that people have actually come up with a theology that says God comes up with the bad. And he designs it and puts it in our life. That's not true at all. It's true God can restore and redeem every single thing that the enemy has sent our way. But God is not the strategist of evil, and God is not the origin of sickness. I'm telling you, sickness doesn't even exist in the kingdom of God. Do we understand that? Right? And we've invited the kingdom to come in us and to have dominion in us. The heart of the Father is for our good and for our health. Let's turn to 3 John chapter, there's only one chapter in 3 John, so we would call it 3 John verse 2. I'll never forget the day I read this from a different vantage point, because God said, listen, Debbie, this is my heart for you. Because we read it like, oh, yeah, this was the Apostle John telling his friends. Well, let's hear it coming from the Father heart, the heart of God himself for you. Patience, my beloved, my wish for you, my prayer, my deepest intention for you is that you would prosper in all things. Amanda, my deepest desire for you is that you would be in health. Shadrach, my deepest prayer, intention, my strategy from the Father God himself is that your soul would prosper and that all these other things would follow, good health and prosperity. If you've ever studied the word shalom, you know that verse that says he will keep me in perfect peace. That's the word shalom, friends, if we keep our mind stayed on him. So what we focus on is what we're going to experience. He wants us to keep on experiencing the good things, the favor, the forgiveness, the healing, the health, the strength in our bodies. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So where does sickness come from? Well, I don't know if we need to talk about it, but I'm going to just spend about 60 seconds on it. Romans chapter 5:12. Obviously, it comes from the devil. He's the one that came up with this whole idea of sin. Adam and Eve said yes to this idea, this thought. It's okay. Romans 5:12. It's okay. Sin came into the world through one man. It's a little unfair when you think about it. I mean, one guy makes a stupid choice. Well, actually, his wife, and he wasn't paying attention. And then they all ended up falling. One man. And now all of humankind is under this dominion of sin until we come into Christ, friends. Then the Bible says sin shall not have dominion over us. All right, well, I guess I'll just keep going here. Just like the enemy came to Eve with a thought, with an idea. You know, you could be in a better place. You could have a whole lot more understanding. You know, you could be like God. She falls for the idea. She falls for the imagination. And there we are, all of humankind under this influence and this dominion of sin. The enemy comes to all of us the same way, and in this area of health healing and wholeness, that's the way he'll come. Like, he'll come with a thought, often in the first person. Have you noticed? I think I'm getting this. Or, you know, this has been in my generation for years and years. It's just bound to be in my family too. Da, 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 da. Sin came into the world through one man and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sin. The thing about sin, I think we all agree, sin entered the world, death entered the world, but there are some other results of sin, one of which is sickness. So you can actually put sickness in there. Sickness entered the world through sin. Guilt, shame, all these different things are results of sin. And now We stand in the triumph of Christ because that's what Jesus did. He already took it in his own body. Hallelujah. So he came to Eve with this thought. He'll come to you with a thought. I read somewhere that 80% of diseases that people get, they get in doctor's offices, where the doctor will say, dup, 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 you have this, dup, now you have this, and we come into agreement with it, we attach faith to it, and there it is. And that's the only way the enemy can come in, friend, is by attachment, when we attach faith to it. So the enemy legally has no place in us. You agree? Thank you. It's true. But we do have to come into agreement with that statement right there. Jesus said the enemy has no place in me. And now we are in Christ, so the same thing is true. The enemy has no place in us legally at all. We stand now in the triumph of Christ over evil, over sickness, over disease, over pain, over lack, and unless we replace those negative thoughts, those wrong conclusions, the doctor's reports, doesn't the Bible say, whose report have you believed? It's a choice. We've got to make a choice. What we attach our faith to is what we're going to experience. So again, may I clarify, Jesus has already said yes to your healing, yes to your health, yes to your well-being. Yes to the removal of pain in your body. The price has already been paid. Now, the very best source of how God thinks on this topic is to study Jesus, who was and is the exact representation of our Father's heart. So we're going to spend a few minutes looking at Jesus and his idea, his attitude toward sickness. Because Hebrews 1:3, beautiful scripture here, explains that Jesus is the, well, he calls him the Son. Isn't that beautiful with capital S? We love the S-U-N, but we love the S-O-N even more. The light of the world is shining in our hearts. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Glory to God. So Jesus perfectly expresses the Father's heart. Perfectly. And Pastor Davis encouraged us and encouraged us not to look through the filter of the Old Testament. Keep looking through the filter of the New Testament because we're the redeemed. We're in the new covenant. And I think I've shared it with you before. If divine health was in the Old Covenant, and those people in the wilderness for 40 years, not one was feeble among them? Come on. We have a better covenant. We have a better covenant. It also says here that he sustains all things by his powerful word. So you need to grab a hold of that one also. I guess that's one of the things I forgot to say up front. Any truth that you hear today, you know, maybe your heart or your mind will go, what? Just attach faith, okay? Just try to see it. I heard a speaker this week say that when you can see it, it lights up the left hand of your brain, left side of your brain. And when you speak it, if you can even put your name on it, then it lights up the right side of your brain. So you're getting the whole being activating this power of God in you. So Jesus sustains you, friend. He's your personal creator and he sustains you. Now, how did Jesus act when it came to sickness? What was his attitude? Let's look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. I'm just going to grab a drink a second. This is a scripture we're very familiar with. But again, there's a vocab word in here that we're going to talk about. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Friend, you have also been anointed with the same Holy Ghost. I'm talking the same Spirit. And you have been anointed with power. Who went about doing good. We're talking about Jesus, and that should describe every one of us who go about doing good. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, this little phrase, oppressed of the devil, is one Greek word. It's 21 letters long. I don't know if I'm going to try to say it, but it's kind of like Cata Dunostio. I didn't do too bad, I guess. Cata Dunostio. So this little word kata means under. Under. When you think of oppressed, you do picture that, don't you? Like under. It means down or under. This dunostio means holding power over, lordship over, or dominion over. Now, I already brought that verse up today. So Romans 6:14, remember in Christ, sin is not supposed to have dominion over us. In fact, here it is. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Say that with me, actually, except put me in there, okay? Sin shall not have dominion over me. And earlier I tried to say, probably not very well, but all the results of sin are included in that. Guilt no longer has dominion over me. Shame no longer has dominion over me. Death no longer has dominion over me. I mean, our hearts are going to stop someday, but friends, never are we going to experience death, the second death ever. We're not. Our spirits are going to be just as alive this moment after our heart stops. It's going to go on, thriving and flourishing. Sickness shall not have dominion over me. Say that with me. Sickness shall not have dominion over me. Pain shall not have dominion over me. Guilt or shame or any result of sin. Lack, it's not going to have dominion over me. Not at all. Hallelujah. Because we are now under this rule of grace. Isn't that what it says? Because you're not under law anymore. You're under grace. That explains you too, friend. You're not under the law anymore. We are now under this dispensation. Don't you like that word? This outpouring, like a tidal wave. That's actually the word that one of the translations used describing Paul when he says, I got this tidal wave of grace that comes to me. Well, that's what we got going on. Undeserved favor coming to us constantly. Constantly. We're redeemed in our spirits, our bodies, and in our minds are getting renewed so that the rest of us gets under that same law. Because, oh, here's another one. Is that Romans 8 that you gave us a minute ago? Romans 8:4. This says that now the law of the Spirit of life. How do I keep missing all this? The law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. Is that verse 1 then instead? No, number 1 is there is now no condemnation to those who are walking in Christ Jesus. I'll just get my Bible out here. It's the very next one, verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life. So instead of the dominion of sin and the dominion of sickness and the dominion of lack, we are now under which law? The law of the Spirit of life. We literally possess life, friends. I was reading Chad Gonzalez the other day. He says, picture yourself. Well, he said two different things. One was when you're praying for somebody, see your hands like jumper cables, connected to the power of God. Just see it. And then the other one, he said, I can't remember, but jumper cables will do, won't it? Yeah, we're connected like jumper cables. Oh, I know, he said an IV. I mean, have you all had an IV at least some point in your life? And you kind of got faith that, oh, this new stuff oozing into me is going to give me new strength. It's going to kill all that disease. We're connected to the IV of heaven, friends. Whew, yes, life is pouring into us, this law of the Spirit of life. What else did I read here? It was just this morning. When the life of Christ becomes more real, bigger, more dominant than our sickness, that's when the miracle will begin. So which one's bigger? Sometimes we have to just plain resize our big God. The greater one is in us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm only on page 4. Okay, so Acts chapter 10, verse 38 really means God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing everybody who was under the tyranny of Satan. Friends, it looks to me like this passage clarifies every sick person that Jesus prayed for, at least. Every sick person in the Bible that Jesus prayed for that was healed, it was because they were under the dominion of the devil. Am I right? Under the lordship? Now, we don't like to think that way. I know, friends, because in my own life, I was in the same place. Okay, I've asked God to heal me. I'm just going to wait. Okay, maybe tomorrow. Until I finally came to terms with this, friend, it was actually Pastor Kun Kun that helped me. Because I said, will you pray for me? Because I'm dealing with da-da-da-da-da. And he said, you know, what you're dealing with is oppressive spirits. I mean, I didn't want to hear that. Like, what? Come on, I walk with God. But when I came to terms with this very thing and stood up with the authority God gave me, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, what did Jesus say? Behold, I give you the power. I give you authority to tread on the serpents and the scorpions and over, what does it say? All the power of the enemy? Come on, really? That's what the Bible says. So I finally did it, friends. I finally stood up. I mean, it's kind of like the scene from War Room. You've all seen War Room, right? Isn't that Priscilla Schreier who does that? Who's in that? She opens the door, front door. She goes to the front door of her house, opens it and says, get out. I don't want you here anymore. I mean, she understood her power. Her war was not with flesh and blood. She could have went and said to her husband or all the issues and say, you're the problem, I want you to change, da 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 da. Well, she knew that wasn't it. Behind every sickness, friends, is an oppressive spirit. We've simply got to stand up, and that's what I finally did. I commanded it to be gone, and several issues in my life were just gone. Hallelujah. So here's the second word I want to touch on today. It's called epitomeo. We're going to go to Luke chapter 4. It's a little easier to say than katadunastio, right? Epitomeo. Now, again, this is an interesting word because the scripture uses the very same word in the Greek, friend, to describe how Jesus dealt with demons, like full-out explosive outbursts of the devil, like we're going to read here first, and when he was dealing with sickness. So here it is, verse 33. Now in this synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out. So we have this big scene right in the synagogue here. He shouts, let us alone. What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. So we have this big scene. Can you kind of imagine what it was like? Jesus, here's the word, rebuked him. That's the word epitomeo. And he said, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out and did not hurt him. He epitomated. He spoke harshly. That's the word. He spoke harshly and commanded, just like we saw in the war room scene. All right, so now, just a little bit later in the chapter, we're going to, I guess he's already got 39 up here. Jesus, can you start at 38, or isn't it possible? He arose from the synagogue. It's kind of like leaving church and going to somebody's house for lunch. So now Jesus gets up from the synagogue and he enters into Simon's house. He arose from the synagogue, entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever. And they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her. And here's the same word, friend. Rebuked. Epitomated. He spoke very harshly and commanded that fever to leave. Wow. You mean we can pray that kind of prayer for other people too? Yeah, Because we have been given power. The greater one is in us, friends. We are hooked up to the jumper cables of heaven, to the IV of heaven, and we have power. Hallelujah. I mean, there's a reason why the Bible says, be strong in the Lord. Come on, be strong in the Lord. Can we look at Ephesians 6:10? Finally, like in regards to every issue in your life, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let's look at the Passion Bible because this will just knock your socks off. Whew, I love this verse. Really, that's the Passion? All right, mine reads quite a bit different. Listen, be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Explosive power, friend! That's what's in you! Stand victorious. Come on. Do you even see yourself in union with, one with? Sometimes that's what we have to do when we're sitting with Jesus. We just have to imagine. We have to kick in our imagination. I'm one with light. I'm one with power. I'm one with the victorious, the one who completely conquered. Did he ever have an issue when he was dealing with sickness on the earth? Did he ever leave somebody and say, sorry, I don't have enough power today. Sorry, it's not the Father's will to heal you. Never did that happen, friends. Never. Okay, I got one more one of these keywords I'd like to show you. Oh, I wanted to quick tell you this. Well, we'll wait. I can do this next week. Let's go to Psalm 103. We've looked at this marvelous scripture again and again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And those people who do not believe that healing is for today, they'll always take the scripture and they'll tell you, now, those aren't physical diseases. Those are all spiritual diseases. But can I tell you that in the original Hebrew, and even when they switched it to Greek, you all know what the Septuagint is, when they took the whole Old Testament, put it into Greek in about the second century so people could actually understand what the Old Testament said. Every time, let's see, I got the numbers here, 9 times in the Old Testament and 12 times in the New Testament, every time that word diseases is speaking of physical diseases. Okay? It's not spiritual diseases. And then the word heals. Some people will say, well, that's not about physical healing. But it is, friends. All 28 times, every time it deals with physical issues. And the word, and then some people will go to verse 4 and say, who redeems your life from destruction? Well, that's obviously about spiritual. No, friends. It's much more comprehensive than we can realize. And here's the coolest thing that you have to know about. That is that the present tense participle, I don't know if I can explain it right, in the Greek and the Hebrew, explain that this is a continual thing. Continually he's forgiving all your iniquities. Can you agree? Continually he's healing, mending, restoring your body to soundness, wholeness. He's continually redeeming your life from destruction. He's continually crowning you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Hallelujah. Well, I think you're dying to know that one little thing that I was going to wait with, so let me just quick tell you here. There's a healing evangelist. Maybe you know Chad Gonzalez. Anybody know his name? Anyway, he went over to one of the countries in Africa on purpose just to interview a couple witch doctors who'd been converted to Christ. And he asked them, he got them, you know, in their tent, and he said, now, you got to explain to me, how does this happen that you guys can do these prayers, these incantations, and people walk away seemingly healed? And he said, oh, they aren't healed. He says, because all disease and all sickness is spiritual. It's not physical. Now, I want that to soak in because we are convinced that it's purely a physical thing. But he said, this is the witch doctor said, it's all spiritual. He said, when somebody comes to us and asks for prayer, he says, what we do is we just make a switch. If it was cancer, maybe we'll switch it to diabetes. Or he said, they'll leave our tent with every symptom gone of what they were diagnosed with or thought they had. And he says, just in a matter of weeks or months, a different disease will show up. We have the life of Christ, friends. We have been given this greater power. What did the Bible say again? Be supernaturally infused with the power, strength through your life union. See yourself one with the Lord Jesus Christ and know that His will for you is health and wholeness. Father, we thank You that Your good, good plan for every person in this room is soundness of body, restoration of every wound, physical and emotional. Thank You that it's Your will for us, every one of us, to walk in increasing health every single day, stronger, and to let us be connected to this Jesus who is the Son of God, the very radiance of the glory, and that we are like jumper cables, Lord. When we put our hands on others, power flows. Hallelujah. We are hooked up to the IV of heaven, and life rules. The spirit of the law of life is ruling in every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this inspirational message. We trust that you were encouraged in your faith. For additional information or resources, please contact the church at 605-692-4616. You can email us at holylife@brookings.net or visit our website at holylifetabernacle.com. If you're in the Brookings area, please stop by to visit a service. We are located at 241 Mustang Pass, just off Main Avenue South. Our service times are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., also Wednesday nights at 7. God bless you.